Hello and welcome to the first ever Tricolore Pridecast, your podcast on all things Yokohama F. Marinos. My name is Jamie and I'll be your host, but I'll be joined by a range of guests from across the globe as we give you a run through all the latest news and goings on at the Nissan Stadium. I'd like to start off by thanking you, the listener, for tuning in. Whether you're a Marisapo, Marinos supporter, or a general G League enthusiast, we're grateful to have you along for the ride. I'd also like to extend our thanks to Ben Maxwell of the world famous J Talk podcast for prompting us to begin our own podcast. And for those of you who somehow have managed to find us without first encountering the J Talk pod, then please do make your way over there and give it a listen. You will not be disappointed. So let's kick off the podcast and the new season with a couple of my mates who just so happen to be big Yokohama F. Marinos supporters, Stuart and Tony. So Stuart, how are you today? And can you tell the listeners where you are based?
I'm very well. So I'm based in the hometown in Yokosuka right now. I first came to Japan in 1988, but I didn't follow football until about 2012, the end of the season. So I've been following Marinos since then, and that's where I met you guys.
Indeed it is. And don't steal my thunder, Stuart, because we are going to endeavour to find out a bit more about your Marinos story. But first off, I should introduce Tony. Tony, how are things today? And similarly, could you please let the listeners know where you're based?
Hi, Jamie. Hi, Stuart. I'm Tony. I'm based in Melbourne, Australia. I started following Marinos in around early 2009. My local team here in Melbourne had been in the ACL, and I was casting around for a J-League team to follow, and probably took the easy course, and I chose the former team of one of my favourite players. So I settled on Yokohama F. Marinos, and I've been following them since then, since 2009.
Excellent. Well, we'll come and maybe give a wee bit more detail on, as I say, that Marinos story that you've got, and we'll maybe find out who that favourite player was, Tony, and how that player came to be your favourite. But for full discretion, I should disclose, for those who haven't picked up by my accent, that as a lot of people involved with Yokohama F. Marinos seem to have done recently, I'm in Glasgow in Scotland, and I'm kind of based on current trajectory and projections. I'm assuming that you two will be joining me here soon as well as Ange and Daisen Maeda, is that right?
Yeah, I definitely would if I could guarantee I could get back into the country here. But yeah, I would love to get over.
Good. Well, let's move on then to our first segment of the podcast. And I think it's fair to say none of us are native to the Kanagawa area. So, Stuart, I'll start with yourself. But you mentioned late 2012 as being your sort of starting phase of your Marinos fandom. How did you find the club, effectively? What's your Yokohama F. Marinos story?
Well, around that time, my son suddenly became interested in football. I think he was playing in the playground and showed an interest in supporting a team. So I said, well, why don't we just go to the local team and properly support them? So it was a friend of mine who was already going there with his family. And we joined him, and from there it kind of snowballed. We gathered more and more people, and now go as a group, about 20 people at Tums. So I was actually in the hometown and decided to follow the local team.
So, and for yourself, Tony, you mentioned earlier on it's been about 13 years for you, making yourself the most, making yourself probably the most seasoned fan on this in this particular podcast. What's your kind of Marinos story? And you mentioned about a favourite player. Just who was that?
Yeah, well, it's no surprise. It's probably going to be a bit of a common theme for a lot of people who join us at some stage this season. Nakamura Shunsuke. Yeah, I did him play for Japan, and also I first saw him early on Sunday mornings here. There's the Serie A highlights in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. and I saw Shunsuke and Nakata and Rokoba were the ones that I can remember standing out for me when I'd see the highlights. And yeah, Shunsuke was one of those top three of my favourite players that I'd see on those highlights. And so, yeah, it was his former team that that grabbed me.
Yeah, Tony, you've kind of given my own answer effectively. That's the same story for me. Funny you mentioned those early Serie A highlights because in 2001, I think it was, Parma came to play against Celtic in a pre-season friendly, and Celtic are my local team. And I can remember really watching the game and being astonished by kind of Hidetoshi Nakata, and also that yellow and blue sort of hooped jersey. I'd never really seen a jersey of that colour before at Celtic Park. So that was kind of my segue into Japanese football. And then just so happens I ended up on a school trip, which makes my school sound as if it was really wealthy, but I can assure you it wasn't. A school trip to Japan that coincided with Shunsuke signing for Celtic 2 days before that. So you can imagine being 14 and 15 and arriving in Japan to your local team being on every single newspaper and the front page was a pretty big shock for me, but was very welcome. And ever since then, Shunsuke became my favourite player, and I managed to go over to see him in Spain. And when he made his way back to Yokohama, it was a very natural progression for me to follow him as well. So yeah, that's my own Marinos story, and it segues nicely on to my next question for you, because obviously my first game was around 10 years ago, as mentioned, and really was just as a result of following Shunsuke. Stuart, to start with yourself, what was your first game, and what do you remember of that day?
Well, that's a very difficult question, because the first time I went with the family and sort of kicked off my Marinos watching career as such, that wasn't really the first time. I'd gone a couple of years, maybe a year before, with my son, and I really didn't know what was going on at all, how to get there or how to find a place to sit or anything like that. And so he was a little bit too small to concentrate on the game, so it was a little bit too distracting at that time. But I looked back, and that seemed to be one of those matches where Matsuda Naoki was playing, and he came at the very last few minutes, and I think maybe he was substituted for Shunsuke, and that was a time when he was kind of being edged out, and he wasn't being selected, it might have been one of his last few games. So that was a really great memory, and it made me want me to go back to the stadium. That was the first time at Nissan Stadium. Yeah.
And Tony, yourself, what was your first game, and what's your kind of key memories of that?
My first game was, I think it was in August 2010. It was home game against Albirex Niigata. And sat on the first floor at Nissan behind the goal, behind and a bit to the left of the goal area where the home fans all are. So seeing all the flags and the TIFO, the big shirt, all that sort of stuff was pretty impressive compared to, I think it's probably what most local A-League supporters really pick up on from the J-League is the impressive support that the J-League teams get. As far as the game goes, the notable thing for me, and I'll try not to mention this player too many more times, but yeah, it was one of the few times that Shunsuke scored a goal off his right foot. So it ended up being a 3-0 win, which was great for the first game. And scoring off his right foot, also a rare thing for Nakamura Shunsuke.
Indeed, well, similar to Stuart, and actually, Stuart, I thought you were going to say you couldn't remember the first game for other reasons, potentially, because I'm sure there's been a few games that collectively we all can't remember since we first started attending. But yeah, my first game, similar to yourself, Stuart, is I can't really remember who it was against, but the kind of key theme and the key takeaway for me was just that match day experience, which I think is what strikes a lot of people who go to their first J-League game. And it's something I'm always keen to advocate for friends who are travelling in that area is go and see a game, because what I was used to in Scotland was, you turn up, you're sort of shepherded into the stadium, it's cold, you know, you've usually had a few beers, you get an overpriced pie and you're back on the bus to get home and or go to the pub and get a heat. Whereas in Japan, that, you know, that sort of carnival atmosphere almost outside the Nissan Stadium, where there's so many, you know, things that the club have arranged and music and even down to the sort of breakdown of the supporters, that there was so many more women and younger kids that attended games, and just the environment and atmosphere was completely different. So whilst I went to see Shunsuke, I totally fell in love with the club and what I saw off the park that day. And despite the fact I can barely remember the scoreline or really how the game went, I was so taken by kind of what I saw in the stands. And as you mentioned, Tony, the flags and the atmosphere, the songs, that sort of stuff. It just seemed like it kind of came from nowhere for me. And really, I went home and I was kind of bitten by the bug. There was no way that, you know, what started off as a bit of an interest, effectively that day developed into, you know, fully becoming a supporter. So yeah, for those who haven't been to a game yet and potentially are listening, that I could not recommend it enough. Tony, I think you and I have both answered this question potentially, although I will put it to you again after Stuart has answered. But Stuart, in your time watching IF Marinos, do you have one particular favourite player?
So, my favourite player? Well, that's a difficult one. I should have thought about this a bit more. I really, in the past, you know, we all know that I was really keen on Manabu when he was playing at the very start. And I don't really know why that was. I think it was a lot of, I wouldn't say hype, but he was kind of seen as the player that was coming up and coming. But he never really made it. And then also, you know, for me as well, Shunsuke was a big hero until he left. So that was good, but and we've talked amongst ourselves that like that first year that I went, there were so many cool players. I thought, like, for example, you know, Tomizawa and Nakamachi, Kurihara, they were all like real icons, and so they were real kind of outstanding looking players, as well as you know, good players that you enjoyed watching. So I never really thought about at that time favorites as such, but my first uniform, which was a Fabio uniform, and I got that because he came on in the last minute and scored a goal, and I thought, that's fantastic. That's the best thing I've ever seen. And he was a bit of a favourite for the very first year too.
Excellent. And maybe I should ask Shunsuke aside in that circumstance then, Tony, or perhaps I'm preempting the answer here and it's a different one. But who would your favourite player that you can sort of think back on over the years following IF Marinos, who would your favourite player be?
Yeah, that is a hard question. Over the years, over the years, probably a player like Hyodo. He just always seemed to battle really hard. He was one of those undervalued players, or players who was undervalued by supporters of other teams. He always he did everything going forwards and backwards between our defence and attack. And I think I remember Shunsuke actually said, "You know, if you don't appreciate Hyodo Shingo, then you don't understand football," which was a pretty impressive thing to have said about you, I think. But as far as I think someone like Kida now is probably one of my favourite players. Mm. Just he does all the hard work, and it's I usually go for the more attacking players, but I appreciate Kida's hard work, and he's a homegrown player as well.
Yeah, and I think that always adds extra weight. And I think, Tony, which the point Stuart made, and Hyodo would tie into this as well, about that early Marinos team, you know, had a range of characters. And when you look back on them in terms of their age, they were more sort of mostly senior pros and guys in their late 20s. They, they did. They had a real personality about them. I think that team, both as individuals and collectively, a real set style of play that seemed to work. And for me, my Shunsky aside, my favourite player that I've encountered at Marinos is one I've spoken to you all about separately, Saitaro Tomizawa, for similar reasons to what you mentioned with Kida, but also because of his personality off the pitch. You know, he was a real sort of fun-loving character. He was always, you know, having a joke and a laugh with the supporters. But you know, when the whistle went, he was all business and all action. And for me, kind of was the backbone of that Marinos side that we kind of, well, certainly for Stuart and I, sort of first encountered following the club. So yeah, for as much as the match experience was kind of bitten by the bug and brought in to be a Marinos supporter, you know, really. That first established team, as Stuart mentioned, had great personality and really sort of brought me in to continue in that support of the club. Next one's probably a wee bit harder. So I'm going to answer it first to give you time to have a think about it, because I am doorstepping you with some of these questions. Favourite goal that was scored? And for me, the favourite goal, the best goal that I have seen in the 10 years or so supporting Yokohama F. Marinos is not a title winner or anything like that, but is a goal that Shunsky scored against Shonan Bilmari in April 2013. And it was a free kick from just outside the goal on the left-hand side. And the reason that's my favourite goal was not because it was particularly special or brilliant or important, but because he gave me the boots he was wearing when he scored that goal, when I meandered up to the training ground a few days after that to make my first visit to the now defunct or now non-existent Marinos town. Those boots are sitting in my cupboard, and as a result, whenever anybody comes in to visit for the first time, they're almost always showing those boots and showing the goal that he scored with those boots on. So yeah, that's my favourite goal over the past 10 years. And I'll start off with yourself again, Stuart. If you could think of any one particular goal that was particularly meaningful or seemed skillful, then what would you say that would be over the past 10 years?
Okay. Very easy for me, because it was the most amazing goal that I'd ever seen. It was Hugo Vieira in the last minute of a cup tie, a league cup tie, where if we had continued in a draw at that point, we'd have been there for another hour, like in the stadium, by the time the match had wound up and all the things there. And in the very dying seconds, Ikura kicked the ball to Hugo Vieira right into the left-hand corner, and he ran a little and shot almost parallel with the line, and the ball somehow twisted into the goal behind the goalkeeper, so flat along the goal line. It was right in front of me, so it was, you couldn't have had a better place to see that goal. And that wound up the match, and we won that, went into the next round, and we all went home early. It was the most amazing, like 30 seconds, everything changed. So that will never, I'll never forget that goal.
And Tony, for yourself, any particular goal that
sticked out? It's such a difficult question. I've got a couple that stick out, but I don't think they're the best. When I try and think of one, one of the first ones that comes to my mind is Marquinhos' overhead kick against Sagan Tosu.
I remember that.
And look, I'm not the kind of person that actually likes overhead kicks that much, but it was a great, memorable goal. Another one, in 2013, Shunsuke against FC Tokyo, when he repeatedly cuts back left and right in front of three FC Tokyo defenders, knocking them off balance, and then finally, as he himself falls over, shoots past Gonda. And now I can't even remember who scored, but I think our first goal in 2018 which you could say was a quintessential Ange ball goal, where we played it out from the back corner up through, you know, probably half dozen to 10 passes right up to the other end of the park and scored. I think I can, this shows perhaps the modern state of mind. I can remember retweeting it, but I can't actually remember who scored it. So, I think our first Ange ball goal sticks in my mind the most, but even though if I can't remember who scored it.
I'm sure we can find that and retweet it through one of the networks if we need to, one of our Twitter accounts, I'm sure, Tony. But yeah, that's interesting. And I think maybe what we could do at this point now is if it's okay with yourselves, move on slightly to discuss some more recent news, now that we've kind of given a bit of information about who we are and our kind of favourites and memories of the club. So, Stuart, I think I'm going to ask you to take the lead with this one a wee bit here, by looking at a review of your transfer window and sort of assessing what's been happening. Then I'm guessing if we could start potentially with the players who have joined the club recently.
I wanted to start off by just explaining how the transfer season works. So for those who are not familiar with the Japanese football, let me just explain. Hold on. Okay, so the season ends in December and the players whose contracts are going to be renewed are announced very early on. And most players' contracts are listed as terminating on January 31st the following year. So we assume that any players who are not immediately terminated have been given an offer to continue with the club. And it's up to them or their agents to find a better offer and negotiate with the club terms and conditions for the following year. And in some cases, that means the negotiation continues right up until the contract deadline time in January 31st, and even beyond that in one notorious case. So each year, Marinos hosts a public event in January where the new players, the manager, the team numbers and uniforms are presented to the public. And in the past, this was done at the Nissan HQ auditorium. It was quite an interesting event to attend. More recently, it's been live streamed from there, so you can watch out next year in January if you're interested. So some other clubs announce their uniforms and even wear their uniform at the end of the previous season, but with Marinos, you have to wait until January for the announcement. So up until that announcement of the team and the uniforms and the opening welcome for the season, the news is trickling out on the official account day by day. So this year, on December the 8th, the Marinos announced that they'd renewed the contract with Kevin Muscat. And as you know, he joined last summer as a replacement for Ange Postecoglou. And this will be his first season in charge. So what do you think about Kevin getting renewed this year?
Yeah, it seems like a very natural conclusion. I think he moved in and he was caught in that sort of difficult period where he's taken up the reins after a very popular manager with a very distinct style of football had led the club. And to his credit, I think he managed that transition well. I think there were some worrying performances towards the end of the season. But I think it was Chris, another member of the group chat, who noted that when Kevin Muscat was winning, he was winning with Ange ball. But when he was losing, it was Muscat ball or whatever else it would be referred to. I think it will be interesting to see him have a clean run at it with pre-season kind of carried out in his own way, to have a chance to stamp his style on the team and play his own style of football. It's going to be interesting to see how it develops and how it differs from the style and the attacking style that we've played over the past few seasons, but I'm open to seeing where we go with it, and certainly it has my support to be here for this season.
How are you, Tony?
I think that's really all we can do at this point. Whatever your opinion of Kevin Muscat as a manager is, I think it's a natural progression to go from Kev as Ange's replacement last year into this year. I think I think we have to give him a go. I think the thing that worries me is that with Ange, it was always we felt we could trust the process or trust the system, and I'm just not sure what Kev's system is, or I just get the feeling that he's the kind of person that would put the system aside for expedience. So I suppose just have to give him a go. I don't want to prejudge him, but we did have some worrying performances when he did try to tweak things towards the end of last season. So, of course, I want Marinos to do well, which means that he has to do well. So we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think it's difficult, as mentioned before, to take over from a successful manager. But living in Glasgow and being a Celtic supporter, I'm in a unique position to kind of note that the Celtic fans, I think, are quite taken by Ange, not just as a manager, but by that whole package that comes with Ange, the style of football, the way he deals with the media, you know, the signings, all that sort of stuff. It really does move in and sort of take over entirely. And I think that makes it especially difficult for another manager to come in afterwards, and even the similarities in the sense that they're both from the same country and I'm assuming with an age range of each other sort of thing. There's a massive disparity there in experience, I think. Ange is significantly more experienced as a manager. So I think it will be interesting to see, as I say, how he breaks away from Ange's identity and sort of how he ran the club for so long in its entirety, and how he really establishes his own style. I support him, as noted, it's the only thing you can do, but I think it's going to be a real challenge for him. There was almost kind of, it would almost be preferable if he was coming in at the start of a new season with an interim manager having sat in place for a few months. Would almost be an easier situation for him, but there was too long to go in the season, and all we can do is get behind him and see how we progress.
Right, so yeah, I think that probably sums it all up. I think everybody feels about the same way, that actually nobody could replace Ange. So it's good that somebody who at least has had some contact with him in the past has taken over, and we'll just see what happens from that. So I'll continue with the news. I'm continuing in chronological order because it's quite dramatic the way the news was announced, because we're waiting for some players, important players, to be signed. So after 1 week, there was no news, and on December the 15th, things really started to heat up. So the first one out was one of the goalkeepers on loan to Nagasaki, Gaku Harada. He was announced as joining Nagasaki on a permanent deal. Then soon after that, 22-year-old defender Taiga Nishiyama, who's on loan to Reinmeer Aomori FC, he was announced that his contract would not be renewed. And later, on the 7th of January, he signed for Yokohama FC. On the same day, they announced that 19-year-old goalkeeper Riku Terakado, his training loan to Yamaguchi will be extended until January 31st. And then big news was that Obi Powell Obina, Marinos' 24-year-old Nigerian-Japanese goalkeeper, who was on loan to Tochigi SC, will return for the 2023 season. So he started in goal for Marinos 20 times during the 2020-21 season in the league and the League Cup and the ACL appearances before Yohei Takaoka established himself in the team. They must have been on the phone to Tochigi that day, because soon after that, 19-year-old midfielder Keito Ueda, who is currently on loan to Tochigi, was announced that his contract will be extended there until January 31st, 2023. He joined Marinos from the youth team and was immediately sent out to Tochigi to get some experience. So later in the day, the first of the really big news came was that Kota Mizunuma, who his contract was renewed. Interestingly enough, he also played for Tochigi SC in 2010 and 2011 seasons before breaking through to the top team in Sagantos. And the rumour mill had him associated with offers for several clubs, which may have prompted the front office to get him to sign again quickly for the 2023 season. Also, later in that day, they announced that Captain Takuya Kida, now 27-year-old, who has been with the club for 10 years, joining straight from the youth team, would be signing again this year. So I see Kota Mizunuma as sort of a mascot player. He's been, you know, very good value in the last year, coming on often in the after the 70th minute, and you know, either making a match-winning assist or in some cases match-winning goal. Definitely at the end of his career, his you know, father was also associated with the club as a player, and I think also as a manager. So it looks like he might be one to continue with the club and play out his career there. Also, no surprise that Kida will sign again, and I think those two kind of set the tone for the dressing room. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think interesting you mentioned about Obi Powell. I thought he was quite unlucky at the time in which he came in, because if you recall, he made quite a substantial number of appearances for us in the 2021 season, and really was a bit of a mainstay during the ACL campaign, where some of his heroics you know, led us to progress in that competition. But he's still very young in the context of kind of goalkeepers, and I'm really interested to see how he's developed playing regular football, because he has all the attributes. You know, he's naturally a very skilled goalkeeper, he's a great shot stopper, but I found him, you know, his positioning sometimes would kind of let him down, and amongst other things, but that stuff can be taught in time, and I'm curious to see if he will compete potentially to be a number one, or if he's going to be regarded as a number two and sort of sit there for a sustained period of time. So I'm really curious to see how his season progresses.
Mizunuma Kota, I think it's these kind of stories. I think, you know, someone who starts off as, well, he's the son of a former player, he came through our youth system, played for us, then went away, and now late in his career he's come back and he's still putting in some really, really good performances off the bench. Like, I think I haven't counted them, but he would have definitely gained us half a dozen or more points over the course of, you know, the year last season with his late assists, his crosses from the right there. So I really like those kind of stories around the club. Same with like Kida coming up through the youth system and being, you know, hopefully he'll be a Marinos clubman, you know, his whole career at Marinos. So so Mizunuma, I'm a fan. I know he's much derided in other circles, but he's done a good job for us, so I can have no complaints.
Yeah, I think actually he's one of the players that you wouldn't really notice if you only watch the highlights, because quite often his contributions are just there in those final minutes that really kind of turn the game or kind of stabilize the game at the very end to make sure that we win. Okay, I'm going to continue with the news. So on December the 17th, that was the next day. There was big news coming out then that Takahiro Ogihara was decided to return to Kansai to join Vissel Kobe on a permanent deal. Also, on the same day, out of the blue, came the announcement that the experienced 26-year-old Katsuya Nagato, left-back from Kashima Antlers, would join on a permanent contract. Apparently, it was in the news that he picked up COVID in November 2020 and never really made it back to the top team after that. I'm not really sure of his history there, but he seemed to be an established player before that, and it may be other players took over while he was out sick, and probably out sick for quite a long time at that point. And then also on the same day, another surprise was that 25-year-old they'll get a Sendai forward, Takuma Nishimura, will join Mariners on a permanent deal. And he had 17 appearances with the Russian Premier League club CSKA Moscow, and then was loaned to the top flight Portuguese club Portimonense, where he played two matches only, and then returned to Japan to become a regular at Sendai. So a little bit of kind of progress made there. Ogihara, I think maybe it was rumoured before then that he would be leaving, so we weren't really so surprised when the official announcement came. What do you think about that?
I think you're right, Stuart, but just to comment on that, because I do think that that's quite a significant loss for us. He's a player that I've rated really highly for a few years, and I think there was spells where he would play regularly and others where maybe he wouldn't play so much, but I always thought he was a really important figure in that midfield. And I think you commented on the J-Talk podcast this week that, you know, him and Kida had, you know, created that really effective partnership in midfield that was a huge contributing factor to the 2019 League Championship victory. For me, I think he's a terrific player. He can be frustrating at times. You know, his lack of pace sometimes would show up, and his decision making sometimes would be kind of problematic. And I know that he's not everyone's cup of tea, but for me, I would have preferred to have him this season than not have him. And I thought he was a very good player. So, yeah, whilst it was kind of largely expected in some quarters, I was still a bit gutted to see him move on.
Yeah, I've been pretty critical of him since he came to us, but I agree. I think he's a really big loss. He's grown on me. Yeah, he does. You know, that partnership with Kida is so important. Kida will stay back and be a bit more of an anchor, and Ogihara had the freedom to go forward, and he actually created a lot of stuff in and around the box. He'd set up a lot, you know, put in a lot of important passes from the edge of the box or from inside on one either side of the box into put the pass into a player in a good position for a shot. So it's a big loss, I think. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how I think Watanabe looks like. He's the one that's going to take over that role. So who's a great young player, but he's got big shoes to fill. And
also noting, you know, we mentioned Ogihara leaving there, but I was particularly relieved that Kida signed on, because for news you'll come to in relation to Maeda soon enough, I was kind of thinking that he might be another player that Ange would have sought to take with him, given the impact and role he played in Ange's teams over his time at Yokohama. So I'm pretty glad to see Kida stay.
It must be a strange situation for you, Jamie, where you would obviously like good players to come into Celtic, but you also would like good players to stay at Marinos.
Yes, it's a very strange situation, and I think maybe Sean, a friend Sean, who is from Glasgow and is a Celtic fan and an F Marinos fan, also will be able to speak to this at some point in future with me. But yeah, it's very conflicting emotions, because that having that knowledge of the F Marinos squad and kind of trying to see where players would fit, you're almost sort of trying to do the maths in your head about who could join you and who could come where. I think it's worth noting that, you know, Maeda's only the second ever player that Ange has signed from a previous club. And I'm sorry, Stuart, I know you're going to cover Maeda's departure shortly, which was a surprise and made me think that potentially he wouldn't come back for multiple players. But I've always rated Kida so highly, and anyone I've ever introduced to Marinos, whether they know the team or not, has always picked him out as being the kind of the heartbeat of the team, and I think that's a fair comment. So, yeah, he's a terrific player, and I'm pleasantly surprised that Ange didn't go for him, because he's a one club man. You know, he's been at Marinos for a long time, and you know, my hope is that, you know, I can't believe he's only 27. You know, I feel like this guy should be in his early 30s at this stage. But my hope is that unless he seeks a move overseas, which I can't see as a club captain, that he stays at Marinos for his career, because I think it's the best place for him, despite his talents and my belief that he would be a good player for Celtic or anyone else. My hope is that he stays with Marinos.
Okay, so pressing on. from 3 days later, we got some more news that in December 20th, that the club had renewed its contracts with Ryo Miyachi and Yuki Saneto, and also Ryotaro Tsunoda. So the 29-year-old winger, Ryo Miyachi, has experience playing in the Premier League and in the Bundesliga. But after joining Marinos in 2021, he only made one appearance, and let's hope that he comes to form in 2023. Yuki Saneto has been an important and reliable squad member for Marinos, filling in the defensive role when regular players have been unavailable. Very happy to see him sign again. And then the 22-year-old centre-back, Ryotaro Tsunoda, he joined us after completing his studies at Tsukuba University and made his first appearance on November 6th at Nissan Stadium when he came on in the 68th minute to replace Tomoki Iwata in the match against FC Tokyo. And we could see the other players guiding him and coaching him. That was his first J1 professional appearance. So also, a new signing came in on December 20th. The Marinos announced another surprise that 19-year-old Nigerian-Japanese defensive midfielder Joel Chima Fujita joined Marinos from Tokushima on a permanent deal, and he made 13 appearances for Tokushima in 2021 and 45 appearances for Tokyo Verdy in the 2019-2021 seasons. He looks to be a very good young player. Hope he gets time on the pitch. Also on the 20th, they announced that Yuta Koike will join Marinos from Cerezo on a permanent deal. In 2018 and 2019 season, he had hopes of making it big in Europe in St. Trudenis, but he didn't play in a top team and returned to loan to Kashima Antlers, where he played 14 matches. So joining Cerezo the following year, he made only 9 appearances. So another Koike to join our squad. So out of those new players, any interest?
Yeah, I've got to say, Stuart, as is very often the case, the 5 a.m. kickoffs for me watching Marinos sometimes can be hard enough, but it's a different ballgame completely trying to get exposure to other players around the league. And for me, really, my knowledge in that is based on JTOP podcast and basically any games where teams play against Marinos. So to speak to these players, I can't say I have any great in-depth knowledge. However, I'm open to anything, and I'm pleased to hear that we've signed Nishimura. I think it was you mentioned that had played previously in Moscow and also, or certainly in Russia, and also in Portugal, because we tend to have good success when we bring former strikers back from Portugal, I think it's fair to say, based on recent form. So open to all suggestions, but for me, the players that are open to all new players, as you say. However, the players that have re-signed, I think, in the core of that squad are really where the value is for me.
Yes, actually, for me, exactly the same, though. I watch quite a few matches for other teams and things like that, but players don't really stick out in my mind unless we sign them. And I looked at Joel the other day on YouTube, and he looked great. You know, like it's really great young player, so... That'd be good. How about you, Tony? You got any comments on these new signings?
To be honest, I don't know much about them. I was a little bit underwhelmed, perhaps my first impression, but on further thinking, I think Koike and Nishimura, I think, and even Nagato, I think. They seem like they're players that have all shown something in the past and then maybe had a bit of a downturn in their progress. And I think they've probably got something in there that hopefully we'll be able to bring out. The only other one, Miyachi, I think he... He may be an important re-signing, given some of one player in particular who's left us. But it's a bit of a worry if we place too many high hopes on him with his injury record. So I hope that we've just been trying to take it easy with him this last 6 months and not push him too hard, and hopefully he'll have a good pre-season and be fit and strong. I did see him in a practice game, one of the Elite League games. He started off really well. I think the first 5 or 10 minutes was very good, and then he got red carded. So that was all I saw of him, really. He didn't really get much of a go in the league. I think the time he came on was late in a game, and it was a difficult game, and he didn't really have much of a chance to make an impact. So, yeah, hopefully we'll see something from him this year.
Yep, looking forward
player
to...
Player that I've been aware of for a decade. You know, he's a guy that has had, I think it's fair to say, so much potential and was touted for so many big things. And I think it's fair to say that over his years in Germany and even in Holland to some extent, that he's made a great contribution to those clubs and played at a decent level. But I think compared to where we expected him originally from those days in Holland, and then even making that move to Arsenal, he's a guy that I think would have been touted to do significantly more. And my hope is that at 29, as you say, Tony, if he can stay fit and have a good run of games, then it potentially could be a big contributor to FC Minos. And I think we have a relatively experienced squad at the minute. So my hope is that he kind of comes in and plays an important role in that, and also supporting younger players coming through, given his breadth of experience. So, yeah, I'm another player that I'm hoping to see sort of bigger things from this season. Despite the fact that he's been around Europe for a while, he's really not played. I think he's only played there in about 200-odd games over the course of his career, which really isn't a lot considering some clubs in Europe are playing 40, 50 games a season. So, again, I'm just hoping he kind of comes in, sort of establishes himself and beds in and avoids injury for a spell, in order to try and sort of make an influence, have an influence on the team. So, big season for Maichi, I believe. I think it's a big season for him in the context of his career as well. So I hope he pushes on.
Okay, I shall carry on. So December 21st was also a busy day. Marinos announced that former youth player, 21-year-old central midfielder, Keigo Sakakibara, who had joined from Reimae Aomori and will immediately rejoin Aomori on loan. So seems to be quite a contact going on between Aomori and Marinos. Seem to have exchanging players and seem to be have a good relationship with them. Also on the 21st, they announced that Hokkaido-born 22-year-old Senegalese-Japanese forward Nadal Tala joined Marinos after university last year and was on loan to Machida for the year. Will return to the club. He was sent out immediately on loan after joining. And looking at his YouTube, the practice matches on YouTube, he looks to be a really good player. And I would say that he has similar characteristics to Maida, I hope that he can get a chance to show those on the pitch. Also on the 21st, 20-year-old forward, Marinos youth player Eitaro Matsuda, who's on loan to Omiya, was announced that he will transfer to Albrecht's Niigata on loan until January 31st, 2023. I was kind of hoping that he would come back because he did play in the league matches and look quite comfortable there, but it seems that they want him to get some more experience outside of the team before coming back again. And completing the very busy day, the club announced that midfielder Kota Watanabe and 35-year-old goalkeeper Hirotsugu Nakabashi, whose only appearance since joining in 2029 was to replace Park Il-gyu when he was sent off with a straight red card in the 64th minute of the title-winning match against FC Tokyo. So he's re-signing. He seems to be, I don't know, fourth goalkeeper or down there in in the depths of the goalkeeping squad. But quite happy to see that Kota Watanabe had signed again, because there were some rumours that he might have been leaving the club even last summertime. I think there were some rumours that probably he wasn't getting enough play, so was looking to go somewhere else. And just I will give the December 22nd, because that's a quick one. The 25-year-old goalkeeper, Fuma Shirasaka, who's on loan to Kagoshima, will extend the loan until January the 31st, 2023. I think Marinos actually is almost a kind of a goalkeeping school. So I'm not really surprised that we have so many goalkeepers out on loan. Any comments about if you haven't seen Nadal Tuller, then I would definitely recommend watching him on YouTube. So comments on Matsuda not coming back and Kota Watanabe staying on.
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed as well that Matsuda's not coming back this season. He did show some good promise in those few games that he played for us. I think it was the year before last now. Then going off to Omiya Adija, he played a few games and then disappeared. Now I can't remember if that was because of injury or he just fell out of favour. I suppose the good thing is that he's still out on loan. He hasn't been released to Niigata. I would like to see him come back at some stage. And, I have seen that some of those training matches with Tala and Dal on YouTube, and he does look like a very good prospect. He's a very strong lad. So I hope we get to see him on the pitch as well.
Just to tap onto your point, Stuart, around if Marinos kind of been a bit of a goalkeeper sort of academy, I'd never thought of that before, but not only in relation to players going on loan who are goalkeepers, but I think when you also look at the volume of former players who have spent some time at the club, you know, thinking of Paggy and you know, Ikura and Inamoto, even over the past few years, have all moved on and played at other clubs, I think. So yeah, it makes perfect sense. I'd never considered that, but that's interesting.
Yeah, I think the goalkeeper training team, is very strong at Marinos with the former national team goalkeeper heading that up. Okay, I'm going to carry on.
Matsunaga.
Yes, you got me. I just slipped my tongue. Yeah. So he's probably coming up for retirement pretty soon, because he's getting on now. And he's still kicking the ball like a champ, from the corner spot to the keepers during the practice time, and getting a cheer from the crowd every time he does it. So December 23rd, Naoki Tsubaki, the 21-year-old midfielder, was out on loan to Kitakyushu, was announced to be transferring to Mito Hollyhock on loan until January 31st, 2023. Also, 19-year-old Ryonosuke Kabayama, who is currently on loan to Yamagata, will return to Marinos. And he appeared eight times in the 2020 season and is a very welcome return. So,
yeah,
and,
indeed he is. Stuart, yes. that feels like a big one. You know, we spoke about Maichi, you know, requiring maybe looking to have a big season this year, but I was really, really impressed with Kabayama, his directness, his pace, and I think Ange was quite, if I recall correctly, quite hard on him. You know, he would come in and contribute well and then would be taken off early in games, and I don't know if it was fitness or, you know, or potentially just not wanting to go to the well too many times with him. But I was really impressed with him, and it's something, you know, I think we spoke about in the group chat, is his pace, is, you know, he's electric, and you know, he's going to have opportunities this season, I think, because, you know, they certainly should have anyway. And I'm keen to see him, you know, take that next step and become, you know, an important part of the first team, or potentially the wider, the wider squad. I'd like to see him get some game time, definitely.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. How about you, Tony?
Yeah, definitely. I watched a little bit of him at Yamagata after Stuart on the J2 podcast let me know that he seemed to be doing quite well. So I kept an eye on him after that. And he looks like he's found a bit more consistency than what he had when Ange was trying him. And I think Ange rated him quite highly, and maybe that's why he was harsh on him. I think Sean might have mentioned at some stage that Ange may have even said something in a press conference after a game that could be read as being a bit down on him. So Kabayama was one of three players that we signed from Kyogo Furuhashi's old high school that I think Ange had high hopes for. So, yeah, hopefully he can get back into the starting squad and we can see him. As he's very pacey and that directness. He's got no fear really when he's on the ball. So I think he can make a good contribution this season.
Yeah, to put a bit of context with that that presser, that it was after one of the matches, and I think what happened there was that the interviewer was trying to press or kind of like, you know, box Angie in to say he's a great player, but Angie wasn't going to get caught out with that, and said, well, yeah, he's he came on and he did his stuff, but he's, I think his fitness was mentioned even at that. He's got to, like, he's not a finished product yet. Like, Angie was not saying, oh, gosh, I'm not going to build him up and say he's the new hero of the club, because we've got a whole team of other people out there who worked there tonight. But so I think it appeared to be a bit harsh, but I think it was more because the interviewer was pressing Angie too much on his contribution. And but I saw him close up, like from the front row of Mitazawa, and a few meters away, and he looked great, and he really looked very skillful on the ball, and in a way he reminded me of more of the Brazilian players who will come and you think immediately, wow, gosh, they've got something a little bit different. I was very impressed with him, very happy that he was coming back. So continuing on with December, so we're on December the 24th, and Makoto Ito was announced to be departing to Jubilo Iwata, where he'd been on loan since the summer. So his loan turned into a permanent deal with them. And Father Christmas brought some good news that the club had renewed its contract with Brazilian forward Elba. And I think this is the first of the Brazilian players to re-sign. And then we got later in the day the sad news that former youth player Kota Yamada, who's currently out on loan, had actually joined Yamagata on a permanent deal. He had 15 appearances for the club in 2018 and seemed to be a rising star at that time, and was expected to come back, but seems to have found his place in Yamagata and will continue on there. And on the 25th, Marinos announced that, to our surprise, that Takuya Wada had joined J2 Yokohama FC on a permanent deal. Takuya Wada had been a really solid member since joining from Hiroshima in 2019. And it's quite unusual for Mariners players to transfer across the town to Yokohama FC. But I think maybe he wanted to stay in the region and was feeling a little bit that his time was up at Mariners. But I thought he was really kind of very humble and surprisingly kind of modestly good player. He just came on and did the job all the time. I was very happy when he was on the field, and quite sad to see him go. Also on the 25th, we're relieved to hear that Shinosuke Hatanaka re-signed. He'd been injured for much of the second half of the season after being a mainstay in defence since joining from Machida in 2019. Also, Marinos announced that 23-year-old Marinos youth midfielder Kaino Yoshio, who was on loan to Machida, will return, and he made 6 appearances for Marinos in 2017 and was sent out to loan at Sendai and then at Machida. So from that, I think the big news was that Elba re-signed. That's probably not a surprise. And that Kaino was coming back. Any comments on those players?
No, mate. I think that was when you think about the amount of deals that have been done there in such a short period of time. I mean, I think we kind of started discussing this piece of work from really 14th of December.
Yep.
And then, you know, within 10 days, there's, you know, so many comings and goings. And I appreciate a lot of the groundwork is done earlier in the season, but it feels to me as if business has been done quite early this year.
Exactly, yeah. I felt that everything was pretty much wound up before the announcement, like the official announcement day. Yeah. So we weren't really waiting on anything. And I think in the past, actually, there were kind of cliques of players that all re-signed together. Like they said, OK, if you're signing, I'll sign. And maybe they were going for some kind of group negotiation or something like that. I got that feeling that there was maybe the Shunsuke group, the Nakazawa group, the Nakamachi group seemed to be like groups of players that I wouldn't say held things up, but it took a while to get the signings. But at that time, it was like, I think it was more important for Marinos to retain the players because they weren't getting good players really coming in, like who wanted to play for Marinos. But that changed with Angie and the change in the style, where players were saying on their initial announcement that the reason they wanted to come was because they wanted to play the football that we were playing. So, Tony, do you have any comments about any Wada Hatanaka and Yoshio Elba?
Elba's a good one to get re-signed, I think. Look, Eriki is one of my favourite attacking players in the last few years, but Elba has almost reached the same level, I think. I mean, I would still take Eriki back in a heartbeat, but I think Elba has shown, especially last season, he's a great player. Ito, it was funny that he went on loan to Jubilo and then pretty well straight after Hatanaka did his hamstring. And then we were short on centre-backs for a few weeks. I don't know. I hope we've got enough cover in that position. Wada, I think he was the kind of consummate utility defender. We played him at left, right back, midfield, centre-back. Remember he had those, was it 2 games in a row, or he had a string of a couple of one-touch volley goals. He did 2, I think there were 2 last season, outrageous goals. I really rated him. I thought he was a great player to have in the squad. He just came in and did the job. I don't recall him making a mistake, to be honest. I'd heard he'd been doing well out on loan, but I haven't actually seen any highlights of him, so it'll be interesting to see what he does when he comes back in. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to quickly go through to the signings until the end of the year, and there's not many big news signings in that, I think, but let's just quickly press on with that. So on the 26th, our regular second goalkeeper, Yuji Kajikawa, was announced as joining Iwata on a permanent basis. Then the 27th, Tomoki Iwata re-signed with the club. That was a good re-signing there. Out on the 28th was Jin Ikoma, who was on loan to Kitakyushu, and he joined Yamaguchi on a permanent deal. And one of the big reliefs of the season, as it was getting a little bit late on, the transfer season, was that Thiago Martins had re-signed on the 28th. He's a really valuable player to keep going. Also announced that day was 19-year-old goalkeeper Tomoki Tagawa. His contract had been renewed, and also Takuto Minami, former youth player, was to join Morioka on loan until January 31st, 2023. We also heard that day that loanee Kenyu Sugimoto, on loan from Urawa, would join Iwata on loan from Urawa for the next season. And on the last day of the year, we heard that eventually the rumours had been true that Daisen Maeda would join Celtic on loan until June 30th, 2022, with an option to buy. So that didn't come as any surprise. And as far as most of us were concerned, I think we were actually happy that we'd be watching him playing for Celtic in the coming year. So I think from that, probably the biggest relief news was that Thiago would re-sign, and I think all the others were kind of just kind of rubber stamping things.
Indeed.
Any final comments?
No, just, well, maybe to say that with Daisen, whilst there had been rumours for some time that he was going to join Celtic, I think that was always potentially in the works just because of his previous experience, you know, playing overseas. And it's something he's mentioned himself before about his belief that potentially he didn't make the best account of himself when he was in Portugal with Maritimo, you know, a handful of years ago. So I think, you know, that kind of had always been something he sought to go back and really try and remedy and go away, you know, as a bit more mature as a player, a bit more accomplished and sure of his position as a start. So no surprise really to see him go. I don't know where we're going to replace 22 goals from, you know, based on, I think it was 22 last season in the league. So that's a lot of goals to replace, and you know, I think that's going to be a struggle this season. And in relation to Thiago, he's in my opinion the best central defender in the league and potentially in the continent. I think he's outstanding, and I think that partnership with Hatanaka, I think it'll be interesting to see how that develops in a different style of football, because the two of them have been left so exposed at times over the past two or three seasons that you're almost seeing a slightly skewed version of central defensive players, because they're not kind of carrying out more traditional roles of clearing the lines and kind of managing the game with little space behind them. They were often left isolated and quite exposed. I think a role both were fairly comfortable in, but you know, that style of football kind of put them in precarious and often difficult situations. I think it'll be really interesting to see those two and how they progress as perhaps a more sort of standard and functional central defensive partnership under a slightly more conservative style that potentially Muscat may roll out. So for me, two great players, that, you know, two great sort of re-signings for the season, and I'm very curious to see how they progress under Kevin.
Yeah, Thiago is, I think he's probably the most important signing. For me, there couldn't have been Ange Ball without Thiago Martins at the back there. Just the cover he provided for our high line was astounding. I mean, the pace he has. I remember there was one game at Mitsuzawa, I think it was against Consadole Sapporo, and they had a break down the right, and it might have even been the rumoured incoming Anderson Lopez that was bursting down the right or something like that. And Thiago just busted a gut from midfield and just overtook him and cleared the ball. And that just sums him up. His pace is what allows us to play such a dangerous, high risk, high reward game. So very important to have him continue. If our game changes and that role isn't maybe required so much in the future, then maybe Ange might come calling.
Ooh, that would be interesting. Okay, so I think we'll wind it up there with the transfer news. We've reached the end of the year, so in the next installment, we will carry on with the wind up of the following few days.
Indeed, yeah, sure. I think we could pick that up in terms of January next week, and also next week, I should say, in the next instalment, we should maybe have a bit of a season preview, looking at potentially how that squad looks to fit together. Potentially, we could bring our anticipated starting 11s, to that podcast, and obviously iron out further teething issues. We'll figure out the mute button eventually over the next week or so. Yeah. But if you're happy to leave it there for today and there's no further news to update, then yep, certainly we can pick that up next week.
Yep. Okay then.
Perfect. That's great, guys. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tony, and thank you to everyone for listening. So I think it's noted that in the coming weeks we'll be joined by members from quite a vast array of Marino supporters groups, from Tricolore Pride to the AJDB, as they're known, the Nogi Wanderers, and the Beach Boys as well. So a few new personalities and a few new folk will be joining us in the coming weeks. If you want to catch up with the latest F Marinos news in English, then you can do so on Twitter over at @FMarinos_ENNews or through Tricolore Pride, where other links will be available. So we'll be back soon with another episode where we'll preview the upcoming season as noted. But until then, stay safe and thank you for listening.
Yep, thanks and goodbye.
Perfect. All right, Stuart?
Yep.